I was standing on a dry butte overlooking a desiccated lake beach with high mountains in the background. I was in the Imperial Valley overlooking the Salton Sea. I was only 5 hours from the University of Southern California, but this was a region I had no knowledge of. It turns out I am not alone. When I come to the USC campus in Los Angeles, I'm always struck by the wide range of people that are walking around. Students are drawn from every state in the nation and from countries all over the world, and they're studying and learning every possible subject known to man. While most of the students know their way around LA, they may not be aware of the Imperial Valley, its history, its future, and how this future will impact their lives.
Have you ever heard of the Imperial Valley?
Yes, I've heard of the Imperial Valley before, but I don't know anything about it. That name rings a bell for me.
I have, yes, yeah. I have.
What do you know about it?
Not too much. I think I heard that it's pretty dry and hot or something like that. I have a friend, I think, that lives around there.
Have you ever heard of lithium extraction?
I have heard of it. I'm not familiar with it, though.
George Navas, the mayor of Brawley, one of the small communities in the Imperial Valley. He points out that most people don't imagine the Imperial Valley when they think of California. And he's right.
People, when you think of California, right, it's like I remember being on the East Coast, and they thought everybody was like on Baywatch. You know, I'm like, nah, it doesn't work that way. You know what I mean? It's not like that. And so this is certainly not the California people think.
And what's happening in the Imperial Valley is about to change your life because it's about to become the home of major lithium extraction operations. The same lithium that powers electric cars, cell phones, and even pacemakers. And the extraction of lithium could change the Imperial Valley as locals know it forever. I'm Charles Zukoski, the Vivian Professor of Chemical Engineering and Material Science, and the previous provost of the University of Southern California. I'm your host for Electric Future, a podcast series exploring lesser-known stories of the energy transition, from the perspectives of people most impacted by changes this transition will bring. This is season one, looking at lithium extraction in the Imperial Valley and how the transition will affect the community and climate change at large. In this first episode, we'll get to know Imperial Valley, an area that is home to nearly 180,000 people, located in southeastern California, 200 miles from USC. This community is located at the heart of the lithium boom. Some have referred to this as a white gold rush because of the enormous demand for lithium as a major component in batteries that power electric vehicles and so much else in our everyday lives. Change is coming to the Imperial Valley and its community. But given this industrialization, can the Valley continue as the massive producer for the agricultural products that feeds the world? This Southern California county, with sky-high unemployment rates and with 17% of the citizens living below the poverty line, is about to be the center of a billion-dollar business boom. But at what cost? We'll find out. When most people think of California, it's all about palm trees and the beach. Imperial Valley has a very different vibe. On one hand, it's a stark desert. On the other, it's green, verdant fields as far as the eye can see. It's a place of contrasts. Including Brawley, Imperial County is home to 7 cities and 8 unincorporated communities, located around and south of a well-known landmark, the Salton Sea. You've likely read about the Salton Sea before or seen a documentary about it, but if you haven't, here's what you need to know. The Salton Sea is the largest lake by area in California. It is a relatively shallow body of water. It is very salty, and it sits below sea level. The Salton Sea is the most recent incarnation of ancient Lake Cahuilla that is formed when the Colorado River jumps its banks and floods the area. When this happens, the Colorado flows into a basin 270 feet below sea level. The Salton Sea was formed in 1906 when the Colorado flowed for 2 years into the basin. Enormous effort was spent to re-divert the river back to its normal path. The result? A fabulous lake was created that became a very popular tourist attraction in the 1950s and 60s. People water skied on it and went fishing. Bing Crosby and Frank Sinatra and the Beach Boys all stayed at resorts. More than 1.5 million people visited the Salton Sea annually. And then the cycle of the ancient lake started to repeat. The area is a harsh desert, getting only 3 inches of rain a year. With no more Colorado River water flowing in, the lake began to shrink. More water was evaporated than flowing in. In this process, the lake became saltier and saltier. And ultimately, the fish in it died. Still, it remains the largest single body of water in California, and it dominates the northern end of Imperial Valley. In contrast to the desolate Salton Sea, Imperial County's current biggest business is agriculture, called ag by the locals. You'll hear a lot of people we talk to call it that.
There's a lot of ag that takes place here in our community.
Yes, it's ag. It's ag discharge.
But a lot of the ag workforce.
Ag return flows.
Our economy is basically an ag-based economy.
Agriculture is a $2.5 billion industry. The majority of the winter vegetables consumed in the United States come out of the Imperial Valley. There's also a big beef industry where there are 500,000 cattle that are raised and processed in the valley. So the agricultural in the valley is conducted on a huge scale. Here's George Nava again on what life is like in Brawley.
We are a ag-based community. We're in the desert, so you can imagine that, right? And so it's just a different environment, right? And so the population is mixed. You know, you have a lot of Hispanics out here now, and you know, it wasn't necessarily like that growing up when I was growing up, but it is now. And so it's just and we're close to the border. We're far enough away where we're not on the border, which makes a big difference, and not in a positive or negative way, but it's just different.
That's right. Imperial Valley's communities are located so close to the California-Mexico border that crossing into Mexico is part of everyday life. It's so close to the border that it's normal to pass through border control checkpoints and to work in one country and live in another. I've spent most of my time in Brawley. People from Brawley are very proud to be from Brawley. But the same is true for those from Nyland and those from Imperial, those from Calexico. Families have lived in these communities for 4 or 5 generations, working in the fields and the land, growing the communities for that period of time. One of the fun parts about the valley is that people know one another because the communities are small and the families have been there for a long time. People have a real sense of community that contrasts with here in Los Angeles, where there are 9 million people. LA is also home to large industries, whether it's aerospace or the largest one we know about, Hollywood. The competition can be fierce for jobs and even buying a home, but life is much different in the Imperial Valley. For Katie Burnworth, the city of Imperial's mayor, the area allowed her to balance a family along with a career as a politician and an environmental scientist.
So I moved back after I graduated from college and got a job right away, and there wasn't as much competition, and I was able to get a lot of experience in a short amount of time. And, you know, I've owned 2 homes, and, you know, I'm 32. And, you know, and there's, you know, just because of the affordability of it all, it doesn't mean that people in bigger cities don't work harder than me or all that. It's a really good place to kind of grasp, you know, kind of build in some roots and grow up. For me, it's a safe place to raise my family, you know, raise my 2 kids. You know, sunsets are the most beautiful here.
Yeah.
You know, it's just different, but I would encourage anybody to come visit. You know, Lithium Valley is going to be big, and if you want to be on the forefront of a new industry, this is it.
But before I talk about lithium, I need to introduce you to the other source of power in Imperial Valley, water. Because water and lithium are deeply entwined in this story that I'm going to be telling you about. I can't think of anything that represents the Imperial Valley's relationship with water more than Dippy Duck.
Dippy Duck wants you to remember that his rules are always important. Dippy who, you say? Come on, you know Dippy Duck. He's the Imperial Irrigation District's legendary safety mascot and champion of canal awareness since 1966. Wow, that's a long time. Together, we visit all of the local elementary schools each year to share Dippy's mission, which is for you to stay active, play safe, and be cool.
When we visited the valley, we learned about Dippy Duck. The Imperial Valley has thousands of miles of canals. That water is always flowing, and of course, in the summer, it is hot. So the canals are very attractive to get into and cool off. However, they are dangerous. They're full of rocks. People drown. So while the water in the canal is vital to the valley's economy, there are safety risks associated with how the water is distributed. As a result, the community developed an iconic character that speaks about these risks. Enough from me. Here's what some locals had to say when we asked them about this Imperial Valley hero. From Elizabeth Espinoza, Energy Source Materials Community Affairs Liaison.
Dippy Duck, I'll be honest, I don't know if Dippy Duck has a gender, but they are a white feathers. He has a little baseball hat, if I'm not mistaken, and he wears a little hat, he wears a little t-shirt, and you see him on billboards, and he'll say, stay cool, swim in a pool, and there's very, very visually friendly graphics for students and for kids, and they have coloring pages for them. If you go out to the California Midwinter Fair, you have IED out there always educating those students, and you actually see Dippy Duck walking around.
And from Imperial Mayor Katie Burnworth.
We love it. I mean, it's something that makes Imperial Valley Imperial Valley, because everybody knows about Dippy Duck. And even if they're not, even if they're not from here, they move down here, they have a kid in grade school, they learn about Dippy Duck very quickly. It's on, they have Hulu commercials, and they're all over now. So
I think Dippy Duck is just cool. It represents the valley and tells you so much about the relationship between the people and the industry in Imperial Valley and water. As Mark Twain once said, in the West, whiskey is for drinking and water is for fighting over. And he was probably talking about this region. Life in the Imperial Valley is dominated by water. LA Times climate columnist Sammy Roth covered the area while he was a reporter at the Desert Sun newspaper in Palm Springs. That's where he realized just how important water is for the valley.
And I got introduced to the Imperial Valley because the main electric utility out there in Imperial is the Imperial Irrigation District, and they also, as it turns out, provide electricity in the eastern half of the Coachella Valley near Palm Springs. So I got into covering IID because they were reducing incentives for rooftop solar power, and there were all sorts of people in the Palm Springs area upset by that. And as I started to pay attention to IID and their board meetings and get to know people there, I realized, okay, not only do they do electricity, they are also the water provider for the Imperial Valley. And, oh man, they are the largest water provider of Colorado River water in the western United States. The Imperial Valley uses more Colorado River water than the entire just about the same amount as the entire state of Arizona. More than half of California's Colorado River water goes to the Imperial Valley. So.
Water is incredibly important to the valley. This water originates high in the Rockies and flows down the Colorado River and then is diverted into the All-American Canal and flows downhill into the valley. The quantity of water is measured in acre feet. An acre foot is the amount of water it takes to cover an acre 1 foot deep, or about 326,000 gallons. The Colorado is a massive river. 2.5 million acre feet of water goes into the valley each year and irrigates 500,000 acres of land. So the valley receives 5 feet of water for every acre of agricultural land. For comparison, the city of Los Angeles has a population of about 4 million and uses 1.5 million acre-feet of water per year. Thus, LA uses only 60% of the water used in the valley. So the agricultural in the Imperial Valley lives off Colorado River water. A second substantial industry in the valley is geothermal power, and this industry is driven by a completely different source of water. Deep in the ground under the Imperial Valley are a series of geologic hotspots that heats water in the sediments to high temperatures. This high temperature and high pressure water is pumped to the surface, where the pressure is reduced a little bit and the liquid flashes into steam. That steam is used to drive turbines that generate electricity, and then the brine is pumped back into the aquifer to refill it. But what comes up with that water is salt. The water has been in the ground at high temperatures, surrounded by the sediments of the Colorado River, for millions of years. The hot water leaches minerals and salts out of the rocks. These brines contain 200 to 300 parts per million lithium, and lithium is valuable. Right now, lithium is used in electric vehicle batteries. The market for these vehicles is exploding around the world. The market for lithium is thus strong. Demand is expected to expand 5 times over the next 6 years. Currently, this amount of lithium is not produced anywhere in the world, and that drives up the price. This makes the brines in the Imperial Valley attractive as a source of lithium. With the demand for lithium driving up its price and the brines in the valley rich in this metal, the Imperial Valley is being called Lithium Valley, and there's a white gold rush taking place. Energy Source Materials is one such company exploring lithium extraction. Vice President for Government Relations, Vince Signorati, told me that lithium extraction technology will be built on the geothermal technology. They go hand in hand.
I think it's key to future geothermal energy development at the Salton Sea, because the power purchase agreements out there, at least ours, and ours is with Salt River Project in Arizona, are significantly above market. Those prices are well above market, particularly for other renewables, wind and solar, which, as you know, are intermittent, and we're baseload, so there's a fundamental difference there. The future, I think, if we can prove up our lithium technology, then future geothermal development at the Salton Sea using that technology will be much more viable.
Later in this series, we will spend more time talking about the technology that Vince has been describing to us. What I do want to mention now is that this technology has the potential to bring something to Imperial Valley that it really needs: jobs. The Imperial Valley has seen economic booms and busts over the last century, and that means residents and politicians are used to people coming in with new exciting technologies and leaving soon after. In this area, there are geothermal hotspots. There was a lot of effort to first mine CO2 that was buried in the ground, and that resulted in a dry ice factory that grew and thrived for about 40 years. And then cooling technologies changed, and the dry ice facility was closed down. The brines were also used to produce salts for about 40 years. Here, the brines were brought up out of the ground and allowed to evaporate, producing sodium chloride, potassium chloride, and calcium chloride as precipitates. But that industry, too, closed because cheaper sources of all these salts became available. When solar farms came into the valley, they were hyped as generating a lot of jobs. But the jobs were for construction. Once the solar farms were built, the jobs left. Brawley Mayor George Nava recalled such instance.
And that's happened before with like solar energy, you know. There's a lot of excitement about it because it created some short-term jobs. But then at the end of the day, they're up and, you know, it takes a handful of people to clean them and operate, you know. And then it's just left behind.
City of Imperial Mayor Kitty Burnworth recalled how the local farmers didn't appreciate how land was converted from ag to solar energy production.
I think what happened was when the solar, you know, that big solar boom, and what solar did was take a lot of acres of agriculture out of production. Mm-hmm. And so you have the farming community in that who essentially, I mean, they do not like solar. They don't like taking land that's historically farmed and continuously generating, you know, money and jobs and investing, you know, economically back into the community. They aren't a fan of that. And so with Lithium Valley, essentially, they're not taking out farmland and they're not competing with agriculture, whereas they saw solar as more of a competitor than a partner.
The people in the valley are very skeptical that this lithium extraction is going to land them with new jobs and bring wealth into the community. But lithium extraction is said to be different. The process will be done in plants, and these plants require operators. In the Imperial Valley, the number of jobs associated with lithium extraction will be material. They will make a difference in the local economy. Imperial Valley Board of Supervisors Chairman Ryan Kelly saw past economic opportunities go to other cities. But he was hopeful that lithium will benefit the local community.
I think in Imperial County, everyone is hoping to see those positive changes. Like, you look at our demographics, we have the probably 7 out of the 12 months, we have the highest unemployment in California and sometimes in the United States. We're a border community. We share a border with Mexicali, Mexico, which is the capital of Baja California Norte. We share a border with Arizona, which is a right-to-work state. So manufacturing industry processing chooses locations based off cost, as well as the maquiladoras in Mexicali. So we have very large companies, Samsung, LG, they're across the border in Mexicali producing products that you may have in your home. NAFTA did not pay dividends to Imperial County. We've seen solar development and wind development, and they've had some good aspects, but overall, it is a resource that is helping the coastal communities and the metropolitan areas and not Imperial County.
And this is important in the Valley, where only about 14% of the residents have four-year college degrees. The average income is about $52,000 a year, and unemployment rates are 15 to 20%. So these new jobs are seen as being very attractive, and they require higher education levels. In preparation for that, Imperial Valley College, or IVC, has a program geared specifically to lithium. IVC partnered with the county, Energy Source Materials, and Berkshire Hathaway to create the Lithium Industry Force Training Program, or LIFT. The program offers one-year short-term certificate programs with access to hands-on training and internships. LIFT will certify plant operators, instrumentation technicians, and chemical lab technicians. The Plant Operators Program started in fall of 2023, and IVC Dean of Economic Workforce Development, Efrain Silva, was pleased with the program's progress.
We started with two cohorts for plant operations. Each cohort has 30 students, so 60 total. When we were considering this, I thought, okay, we need to give our working residents the same opportunity as our students that may take day classes. So both cohorts are designed to be one-year certificates, so the evening students also are able to be done in a year if they take all of the necessary courses. And both cohorts got filled as soon as registration opened. I'm also very very happy and proud and a little bit surprised to say to you that a full 40% of our students in plant operations are females. So we have a very diverse representation of our community in our courses. I'm very, very excited about that. I met with the students the first time that we met with them. It was so gratifying, not just to me, but to all of us that worked on this for such a long time.
As an educator, the programs that are being developed at IVC are very exciting to me, as they show a strong link between education and individual advancement. These are important social mobility programs for individuals in the Valley, where they get training leading to high-quality jobs and improved quality of life. With the jobs made possible through education, the community prosperity will increase. To me, watching education have such an impact on people's lives is very rewarding. There's a lot of excitement associated with the possibility of the growth of the lithium extraction industry. Traylon Bradley, the Deputy Director of Sustainable Freight and Supply Chain Development in the California Governor's Office of Business and Economic Development, told us this.
You know, it's often been said by the governor, as we grow as a population within California, it will be within our inland regions. And those investments will be critical in economic development to build the long runway for good jobs, for research and development investment, and for quality of life. That's really one thing is that we've all been focused on at the state is ensuring that as much as we can, that such investments that we make and that the private companies and businesses involved make align with community goals and vision, because it really brings project success and it really lays the foundation for what this future supply chain will be.
At the same time, this is a new industry and those in the Valley haven't been exposed to the risks associated with it. The uncertainty leads to questions, especially about the environmental impacts. North of the Imperial Valley, Coachella and Riverside residents have relayed their worries about the process to the Leadership Council for Justice and Accountability, an advocacy group that works with communities on issues related to social and environmental justice policies. According to the policy advocate, Crystal Otworth, citizens are wondering about both the environmental and health ramifications. These issues are important as these communities already suffer from poor air quality.
I think from the very start of the process, there have been concerns around what the environmental impacts would be. It's been shared kind of in the media that this would not be, that the impacts would be relatively small compared to traditional extractions that you were referring to earlier with that pass. However, residents from the very beginning have asked, what exactly are those environmental impacts going to be? And to date, there hasn't been any answer.
James Blair is a professor of geography and anthropology at Cal Poly Pomona. James has worked with community groups in Chile, where lithium is produced through evaporation of brines in large, shallow ponds. He has recently been working as the equity technical advisor for Comité Cívico de Valle, based in Brawley, which has a mission of improving the lives of disadvantaged communities by informing, educating, and engaging the community through civic participation. James had these thoughts on how the community views impacts of this new industry.
There's all these other, concerns about public health, about dust pollution that have really urgent needs. And certainly other things like water use when we talk about long-term planning for the Colorado River with drought.
And we also have to take into account the concerns of the indigenous people and Native Americans in the area. Kwame Laguna Indian Carmen Lucas is the caretaker of the Kwame homeland, located east of San Diego. She has worked as a Native American monitor, and here she describes the cultural significance of the land.
But I mentioned then, and this is what angers me, is when we're Native American monitors, and we go out to a site visit, and the archaeologist is there taking notes, and he make a note, comment that I'm there. But when I talk about the mud pot and say, that is medicine, ancient Lake Kaweah has been filled up and drained. It's much larger than what we call Salton Sea today. And where they would have you, the developers, have you believe that what they want to extract as far as steam and lithium is concerned is well under the bed of the Salton Sea. It has nothing to do with the Salton Sea. That's BS. If we are part of the world and the world is alive, then the depths all the way to the center of that world is part of the world and part of the Salton Sea, part of ancient Lake Kaweah. But they don't want to tell you that. They want to tell you they're separate. So again, it's a money-making grab thing.
So let's step back for a minute. Remember that we're on a planet that is undergoing climate change. In order to stop global warming and all the bad effects produced by increased greenhouse gases in the atmosphere, countries all over the globe are working together to decarbonize the economy. Now imagine the geographic location of the Imperial Valley with extensive solar and wind farms, expanding geothermal energy production, and lithium extraction. In a very real way, the Valley is all in when it comes to the energy transition. But how will this affect the economy, the environment, and the climate at large? the culture, and the way of life? These are all questions I'll examine in the remaining episodes of this podcast. Here's a taste of what's to come.
But that's the big concern, is really, you know, impacts due to drought and less water coming into this area mean more play exposed on the Salton Sea. And that has human health and wildlife impacts.
There would be an environmental disaster unless they take precautions to make sure that absolutely no dust from the lithium mining is able to get into air.
Lithium, I know, I'm all for electric, but I mean, you know, it's just a matter of it just not destroying, you know, I mean, it's about climate change, but the political climate and the intellectual climate.
So I would like to see Imperial Valley, number one, acknowledge that there is a process. And I would like to see the American Indians really step forward and with all sincerity, try to find a balance in this so-called stuff.
That's the cost part of the, quote, cost-benefit ratio. And it needs to be seriously considered and given weight, and to realize what was there before the current communities. What voices aren't we listening to? What have we displaced? Who have we displaced?
I'll see you next time. Electric Futures is an original podcast from the University of Southern California, hosted by me, Charles Zukoski, the Vivian Professor of Chemical Engineering and Material Science and the former USC Provost. This series was executive produced by Allison Agston, the director of USC's Annenberg Center for Climate Journalism and Communication. USC Annenberg Professor Mallory Cara is our lead producer. Natalie Lopez and Spencer Klein are our associate producers. Cindy Chai is our research assistant. This episode was directed by Mallory Cara and edited and sound designed by Spencer Klein. Electric Future was recorded on location in Imperial Valley and in the USC Annenberg Studio B. Victor Figueroa, Sebastian Grubaugh, Matthew Buxbaum, and Tom Norris provided technical supervision. Our cover art is by Matthew Buxbaum. All music and sound effects used with express permission under limited blanket license authority from Epidemic Sound. If you'd like to read more about the topics covered in this podcast, please check out our additional resources document linked in the episode description. You'll also find that we have links to the transcripts of this episode available in English and Spanish. You can follow us on Instagram at USC_electricfutures.